We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the show. It is Monday, IB Nation Sports Talk on a beautiful Monday, actually, here in South Bend. He's Vince D'Addario. I'm Sean Stiers. We roll into everyone's favorite day, Overreaction Monday, the day after the Blue-Gold game.
It is an absolute beautiful day outside. It was not a beautiful day this morning at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, but it is beautiful now. It's like 65 degrees now. It was 36 degrees this morning when they decided to have a combine at the high school for a bunch of college coaches.
Chilly.
So, and I was out there doing my all-American dad shag duties, and I was freezing cold.
Did you make as good a catch as that girl on the front there at the Blue-Gold game, the little ticket contest thing?
So you remember when they were doing that, I was like, there's no way she's going to catch that. Uh-huh. The reason I said that is because of how many balls I have attempted to catch over the years of being a shagger for my son. And I was like, there's no way she's going to catch that. There's no way. I don't even try anymore. I just try to kind of get in the way, you know, so it doesn't like bounce all crazy. You know what I mean? I was very impressed by that. That might have been the thing I was most impressed about at the Blue-Gold game.
Well, I remember the first one. It was Eric Goins, the former Citadel and Army guy out there. And you were like, I think you said something to the effect of, where's this going to go? And the first punt was, it was a little bit too far away.
There's no chance she had of catching the first one.
I don't know if they had planned on giving her multiple opportunities because she had to probably run. She would have had to run at least 15 yards, if not 20, to get there. Second one. To his
went
credit,
right to her.
You were like, kick it to her. And he kicked it right to her.
Right to her. Second time's a charm. Kicked it right to her the second time. It was a nice little spiral, turned over real nice. She had a nice catch on it.
Yeah. It was well done.
Hey, man.
Well done.
DK saying the girl is greater than me. I've easily got 20 years on her. So she's still in that fearless stage. You know, there's still a lot of parts of me that can get hurt.
She had something on the line too, man.
She win? Do you remember?
I thought it wasn't it like student like a season student ticket,
nice.
Basically. Yeah, so she doesn't have to pay for her season's student tickets. I think that's what they said.
Hey, that's worth good money. I mean they deeply discount them for the students, but that's still that's worth a good chunk of change. Good for her.
Free is still less than anything else that you have to pay, right?
You're preaching to the choir.
That's like saying. It's like the food in the press box. It's Vince doesn't have to pay for it. So I
put a dent in that food too.
I was going to say the helpings on his plate said so.
Yeah, buddy.
There was no scale they were putting that on. He didn't have to worry about, dishing out any money.
Those poor girls that were putting out the food, the second round of food at halftime.
Uh-huh.
They were being eyeballed so hard by me because they waited so long to put out the serving spoon.
I don't know how many times I heard Vince, I'm going to go see if they've got the food out for halftime yet. Dude, it's going to be there.
I don't do well with just like the stadium hot dogs. Like, and I got one guy sitting next to me just pounding the chili. And I'm like,
is that me or was that the other guy?
The other guy.
I'm going to say, because I had a bowl of chili. I just had one bowl of chili before the
game. You did.
It's tasty.
You did. I'm just not a fan of chili, so that doesn't do anything for me. So all there was, I mean, I was so desperate, Sean, and I know we're getting off a tangent here. I filled a cup of oyster crackers, and I was just eating the dry oyster crackers.
I did see you do that. I was like, what? Did Vince not eat anything at home today? No. What is going on right now?
No, I had breakfast, and I was counting on Notre Dame to hook it up.
Saved it all for the free food in the press box. Yeah, I stayed away from the hot dogs because I debated. I'm like, I got the bowl of chili, still a little hungry. I'm like, do I go hot dog? Do I just save it? Saved it for halftime. It was a nice little halftime
Spot. And that's the thing. My reputation precedes me, and somebody brought me a hot dog. It brought me a hot dog. You can't turn it down. It was brought to you. Like, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Yep. So, yeah. I did eat a hot dog. I wasn't planning on it, but here I am.
Before we get to the overreactions from the game, did you by any chance tally up the fantasy points?
I was wondering if you did, because I did.
I've got it. I did. I just didn't know if you had done it yourself.
So. I was very close to, because the list is at the office, because we did that while I was at work, and it was sitting there just eyeballing me all day, and I was just about to sit down and do it, and then something came up, but I did not do it.
I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I'll just remind everybody who everybody had. So Team Vince was CJ Carr, the number one overall pick in the draft. Micah Gilbert, who was the high scorer from the game, 24 fantasy points because of his two touchdowns.
Two scores.
Justin Fisher, Jaden Mickey, Drake Bowen. That was Team Vince.
Yeah.
Team Jesse, Steve Angeli, Chris Mitchell, Jeremiah Love, Adon Shuler, and then KVA. Team me, Kenny Minchie, Jaden Greathouse, KK Smith, Christian Gray, Jaden Osbury. So any idea? I've got the points right here. Who do you think won based on?
I feel good about me because, you know, CJ was on both teams, racked up some decent points, and then Micah Gilbert had the two receiving touchdowns, which I feel like negates the one touchdown throw because obviously he caught it, but another quarterback threw it. But then CJ threw him one and he caught it. So that's like double points for me. So I feel good about it. But I feel like you're about to toss me something I'm not expecting.
I just want to double check something here. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope, I didn't. Okay.
Okay.
So in third place with 43 points. Team this guy. Kenny Minchie was my high score, 21 points. As it turned out, you know, because of the rushing, the fact that Minchie gave you something rushing, he and Steve Angeli were both worth 21 fantasy points.
Huh.
Both worth the exact same. Because remember, it came down to Jesse and I both needed quarterbacks. I went Minchie, and Angeli was the last pick. CJ Carr only worth 13 fantasy points. Gilbert, again, the number one overall individual scorer with 24, but I was in third with 43. I didn't get anything from any of the rest of my team. Team Vince in second place with 54 fantasy points.
No!
Team Jesse won it, 62 points. He got 21 from Angeli. He got 14 from Chris Mitchell. He got 13 from Jeremiah Love because of the overall day that he had. He got 9 from Shuler, 5 from KVA. You went Carr 13, Gilbert 24. That was the bulk of your points there. Fisher and Bowen were both worth 8. Jaden Mickey, only one tackle, was only worth 1 point.
Nobody went at Mickey because he was having such a good game. Nobody even went his way. That's disappointing.
There you go. They avoided him after that pick six last week.
They did. They avoided him. That's rough. That one hurts a little bit. That's not what I wanted you to tell me.
I thought, just based on, you know, like knowing what Gilbert, you know, and the whole, like, I thought that you were probably going to win, and I'm doing the points, and I'm like, man.
Well, you know.
Jesse stacked it. The Jeremiah Love was a clutch pick for him because, I mean, and this is kind of what I think we can expect from Jeremiah Love. 36 rushing yards, 5 receptions for 41 yards. He also actually had a tackle So he got credit for a tackle.
Did Justin Fisher. He had a tackle. Did you put that in there?
I did. All right. Just checking. It is in here.
Just checking.
Got it right here.
Well, you know, and the tough part is the Harrison touchdown should have never happened. It was underthrown, and the defender fell down. Like, that should have never occurred. And that won it for Jesse. To me, that was what won it for Jesse, because Angeli threw it, and Harrison caught it, and it went for 62 yards.
You mean Mitchell.
I'm sorry, Mitchell. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Like, that should have never – should have never occurred. Terrible ball.
So do you want to start that with, you know, like overreaction, like everyone overreacting to that play?
Okay. Yes, we can absolutely start with that. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Because I saw an article, I'm guessing it was on Twitter as I was scrolling through over the last couple of days. The article that I saw was like, it was Mitchell's coming out party or something like that. And I'm like,
I mean, it was a nice double move, but you're talking about a deep reserve who fell down on the play.
Right.
And left him wide open. It's like, if you don't make
ball.
That play, what are you even doing on the field if you're either Angeli or Chris Mitchell, right? Like, and I'm not trying to crap all over it, but come
on. It's not a coming out party. I'm sorry. Look, it was a nice move. He juked out the defender. There's no doubt about it. When the throw went up, the defender had not fallen down yet, number one. But he had juked him out so bad that I will even give Angeli credit for the fact he was just trying to get it out there, right, for the reason that it was underthrown, because he would have had such a cushion on the defender because of the move. So maybe he was just trying to get it out there. But the bottom line is that was an underthrown ball. There was nobody within 20 yards of him, and he slows down, picks up the, you know, and then 62 yards later, I lose the fantasy draft because of that whole thing. It was not a coming out party. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good receiver.
Right.
But in that game, in a nutshell, right, or in a vacuum, it was not a coming out party. Let's slow the roll here.
Here's Marcus Freeman talking about the play.
So we got him from the portal. We knew he could help this team, and we've seen it on film, and he's had a really good spring. There's been days we've kept him out for precautionary reasons, but, you know, it's good to, when we go live and let him go and throw the ball deep to him, he makes some big plays, and he's going to help us. That's why he's here, to really boost this wide receiver's room, and it was good to see him score a touchdown today.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Freeman didn't sound that excited about
it. Because he's not an idiot.
If he had been locked up, you know, step for step with Christian Gray out there or right. Jaden Mickey or someone like that, and Angeli drops a throw on a dime, Mitchell makes a great catch and then runs away. Like that. Nah, yeah,
thank you.
It's a little bit more coming out to me.
Thank you.
This was, give him credit for making the play. You still got to make the play. But like I said, it's
not a coming out party. I'm sorry.
Little perspective, right?
I believe he said that he and Angeli had been working on that, you know, the stop and go and all mm-hmm. these different things. Okay, that's awesome. That's fantastic. That's great. But you did it against a walk-on. Like, I'm sorry. I can't throw all the praise his way. Now,
as Bill Parcells used to say, I can't get out the anointing lotion just yet. You know,
thank
it's
you.
Like he's going to make some you. Plays. He's going to make some plays. Chris Mitchell
absolutely.
Is going to make some plays. And the receiver room, you know, if we want to talk about the receiver room before we get to the quarterbacks, I think the receiver room is in a much better place than it was a year ago. Like,
no doubt about it.
Stood out to everybody, right?
No doubt.
We can overreact to that in a very positive way.
Right. Well, and DK says, tell us what a coming out party, you know, what is a true coming out party? Did anybody watch Micah Gilbert play football on Saturday? Like, this was the first opportunity for the public to see Micah Gilbert play. That was a coming out party. Two touchdowns, look good. Like, that was a coming out party. Not so much the other one. So, look, it's a good play. He's going to make plays for Notre Dame
on
Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, like Andre says, a touchdown is a touchdown. If that exact play happens in a real game, I mean, yeah.
Hell
okay.
Yeah.
But this is a blue gold game, as Vince said. You're doing it against a walk-on DB. There is some perspective that is necessary.
Yes, 100%. There.
I mean, this goes back to 2 years ago with the Angeli game-winning touchdown drive, right?
I mean, like, honestly –
We're not taking anything away from him. Like, but as Marcus Freeman said, it's the reason you brought him here, to make plays.
Sure.
Play. And sure. I'm very confident he's going to make a lot of plays. But
against actual scholarship or, you know, corners,
right.
Which would be great.
Right.
But Chris Mitchell, I mean, let's be honest, Chris Mitchell shouldn't even have been in the game at that point. Like, it was the last drive of the fourth quarter of the blue gold game. And he's a transfer who's going to be playing a lot of football. I was surprised he was still playing. To be perfectly honest with you, the gold team had already kind of given up and put in walk-ons, and you still have a guy out there who you think is going to be your starter. So it's like, but whatever. Hey, man, a loss is a loss. I lost.
Felt like,
it's all good.
I think Josh nailed it here. Kahanu-Kia, that was a coming out party. Like,
yeah.
Who was expecting to see 12 tackles from Kahanu-Kia? I mean, that guy was just all over the place out there after being away from football for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a coming out party because, you know, we go into that. Look at the defensive players we drafted. KVA got drafted in our fantasy draft. Drake Bowen got drafted. Jaden Osbury got drafted. Who was talking about Kahanu-Kia?
Nobody. Not even the coaches.
Great game.
Like, that was. I mean, he led the team in tackles, right? He was 12 tackles on the day. I mean, he played very, very well in what is a very, very deep linebacker depth chart. And I don't know if he's going to crack the linebacker depth chart this year, but he can go make a splash on special teams. That's for sure. But he was clearly around the football on Saturday, and that was fun to watch.
We're here to overreact one way or the other. So
it's true.
We can like the general reaction to the Chris Mitchell stuff was, you know, let's throw a parade for the guy because because a walk-on fell down and he ran a few yards for a touchdown. Okay, so we can we can overreact the other way and say, let's just pump the brakes on this thing. The guy's going to be good, but that is not the proof of it. Like, the proof of it is, you know, I guess maybe you could say the speed, but, you know, again, it's like you can throw anybody out there on that field, and if they don't make that specific play, they don't deserve to be on the field. So I'm not going to overreact and say, Chris Mitchell, he's the guy because of that play.
Right.
Because he had two catches for 69 yards, and 62 of it came on that play. To be honest, I thought we were going to see a little bit more of Chris Mitchell throughout the afternoon, considering who was available in the wide receiver core.
No, I definitely did. I absolutely expected more from 10. And that's his jersey number, by the way. I expected more from him in this game. And yes, the stat line looks nice when it's all said and done, but then you realize where 62 of those yards came from, and it's like, oh, well, okay. But he's still going to – look, he is still going to be a very –
look, if he gives you a 30-yard reception every game, that's – you're going to take that, right?
Yeah.
You get a 30-yard catch every game?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And this is going to be a deep room. I mean, there's going to be six or seven guys that are going to be contributing. Chris Mitchell's going to be one of those guys. I just figured he would have more receptions on Saturday. That's what I assumed would happen. And it didn't, you know, but still ended up pushing Jesse over the top. So
it did.
You know,
it did.
I didn't realize our game.
And that was basically 12 points play. Right there. Yeah.
Yes.
That was a 12 point play. Jesse beat you by 8.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. So I lost by 8 and that was worth 12. That play right there. Maybe that's why I'm salty about it. If only the walk-on could have kept his feet.
Come on.
He would have been beat for the reception, but not the touchdown. That's what I will say to that.
Right. I'll just take this time, remind all of our loyals to the like button, if you would. Do appreciate it. It has helped us out very greatly since we have kind of reminded you over the last week or so that like button is there, and it does help us out when you hit it. So hit that. You don't even have to be loyal. You can be disloyal. You can be a casual viewer / listener, whatever. Just hit the like button if you would.
Oh, I just pulled it up on another tab and hit the like button. So I'm in.
Were you a little surprised they didn't name an MVP?
I was still waiting for my Jay Fish MVP announcement. Never happened. He never got into the end zone, which I was very disappointed about. But I don't know that they had an MVP last year. Sean, did they?
I thought they did. I thought. I can't remember who, because it's a blue gold game.
It doesn't matter. You know, yeah, like, right.
Yeah. But I would have sworn that this is the first time they didn't do one. I could be wrong.
Well, it's definitely possible.
They obviously typically do.
Who would have been your MVP?
That's a good question. Would it have been? I mean, if you were going to name one, it was probably going to be Steve Angeli.
Right? I disagree.
Okay.
I would go Keanu Kia.
Okay.
I would go with the guy that is most surprising. You know what I mean? The junior Jabby of the world. You know what I mean? Okay. I would have gone away from Steve Angeli, although the coaching staff might have gone with Steve Angeli just to make him feel good.
Kind of feels that way.
I'm just saying.
But look, he did what he needed to do.
For sure.
Right?
Like, for sure. We talk all the time, even in regular games when we're doing like the post-game show and, you know, well, if it wasn't for this one play, but that one play happened. So you have to give credit for the one play. If you say, well, you know, what would Steve Angeli's stats look like if it wasn't for the 62-yard touchdown? He would have had one less touchdown, and obviously 62 less yards to go with his, he had 220, something like that, right? It would have plummeted down to like 160, which is a lot different, you know, when you're talking about, you know, stats and all that stuff. And I think there would have been a lot more criticism going the direction of number 18. And I find that to be very interesting. One play makes that big of a difference, because now...
No, it really does. I mean,
if people didn't watch the game, they look at the stat line, they're like, no, he was great.
If you take away, you know, like you said, you can't take it away. He made the play. Great. Yep. But if you take that away, he's got 166 yards.
Yeah.
That is only one more yard than CJ Carr. It's about 40 more yards than Kenny Minchie. But again, Kenny added that extra dimension with his legs. And he only has one touchdown pass, if not for that. So just, I think the way you look at it, and look, the game was still tight, right? And both teams were out there still trying to score over that last 4.5 minutes. But
yeah, 100%.
Nobody was able to. The defense kind of rose up there at the end, finally. So let me throw this to you, because you weren't at the Jersey scrimmage the week before. So is there anything in particular, and you can narrow this down to the quarterbacks if you want, anything in particular that stood out to you out there Saturday?
I was very impressed with the way Rocco Spindler played. That definitely stood out to me. He dominated that game. I mean, he absolutely dominated from an offensive line perspective. And so that was actually awesome. So I really like that. I mean, I hadn't seen CJ Carr or any of the quarterbacks for that matter in a live situation. And CJ and Kenny obviously were not wearing the red jerseys. And so I really enjoyed watching all three of those guys play quarterback. And, you know, you can have whatever quarterback camp you are in, there's plays in that game that will give you the bias toward whatever quarterback's camp that you're in. You know what I mean? If you're a Kenny Minchie guy, you'd be like, man, he's so explosive with his legs and he's got a strong arm. If you're an Angeli guy, it's like, hey, man, he brought him back at the end with the big pass play. And if you're a CJ Carr guy, it's like, man, the offense looked completely different when he was behind center. Like, you can have confirmation bias for whichever one of the three that you liked, right? And so, but I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. It was not, I mean, again, I know who I like. I know what the depth chart looks like in my head, but I can make an argument for any of the three to be 2, 3, or 4, you know?
Right.
And so I think that's important. I think that's important. You've got a deep quarterback room. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, like watching those three out there and then factoring in that Riley Leonard is standing on the sidelines, so you don't even have him. Like,
right.
You would feel pretty good about the quarterback room if it was just those three guys, I think. Wouldn't you? Like, you'd feel pretty good about it. Like,
yeah.
You know, again, if we want to compare them to Drew Pine and Tyler Buchner, and like all three of them had a better day than Tyler Buchner had in last year's spring game. You know?
No, oh, no doubt. I would be, if it was just these three, there would still be some question marks as to who the starter should be, because in my opinion, it would be between Angeli and Carr. And so do you go with the guy with a little bit more experience? Or do you go with the guy whose ceiling is higher, you know, but he's a true freshman, has never been in this position.
You're saying if whatsoever. It were just these three,
if it was just these three,
fighting for the starting position,
I would feel good about the future. So like right now I feel so good about 2025 because of these three, right? I just don't know if I would be super excited about 2024 with these three. Does that make sense? Like, you could still win a bunch of games. I just don't know that they would be, you know, national title contenders with just these three right now.
Exactly.
In this,
there would be, look, as good as at times Steve Angeli looked, I mean, when you look at the way the three quarterbacks performed, I mean, I don't know if I want to rank them, but after seeing the Jersey scrimmage the week before and seeing the blue gold game, I'm even that I
confirmation bias, right?
CJ, like, you know, CJ Carr is just with a bullet for me. Man, number 12 so with good. A bullet right
he's
now.
He's so good.
I know.
He's so advanced for his age. I mean, that's honestly what it is. It's clear he can read a defense, number one, and it's clear he trusts what he sees, and it's clear that his physical abilities are excellent. He may not have the literal strongest arm in the quarterback room. I think that's still Riley Leonard as far as just an absolute brute strength, chuck the ball kind of a deal, but he gets the ball out of his hands so fast, it might actually get there faster than when Riley Leonard throws it. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
he just,
I mean,
gets rid of it so fast.
Like, when you look at the way the three of them run things, Still a lot of checkdowns for Steve Angeli. Still a lot of locked in on the first read and throw to that first guy.
And he was pressing there for a while too. Yeah. Like, and it was bad.
Yeah. Like there were times, like if the throw was better, he would have had better numbers. And there were times when he could have hit Jaden Greathouse again early on. He didn't, because he didn't see him, just because like obviously the pass that we talked about to Chris Mitchell was the deepest, but it's like, if you don't throw that, then what are you even doing out there? There were other opportunities that Angeli had to push the ball downfield, but he wasn't. Most of his throws were within 12 to 15, you know, like in that 12 to 15 yards of the line of scrimmage type stuff. There was a lot of checking down still, whereas CJ Carr always has those eyes downfield. And then when you compare him to Kenny Minchie a little bit, I thought Minchie did some good things. And what we saw from Minchie with the run game, that is obviously a dimension that Steve Angeli can't even think about. You know, that's Kenny Minchie's greatest asset right now, is the strong arm and the fact that he can run the ball. And there are running lanes out there for him to run the ball. Like those same opportunities are there for CJ Carr, but he doesn't. And I think we, you know, kind of brought this up at one point during the game, like Carr doesn't even want any part of running. He keeps his eyes downfield and he is just always looking for where to make the throw.
Absolutely.
Now it was a little bit to his detriment on that last drive where he gets backed up inside his own 10 yard line and he runs out of bounds, you know, when he should have thrown it away, that kind of thing. But again, that's like a kid who should still be in high school and he's still learning right now, but he is always looking to make the throw, and he obviously has very good vision in terms of what he sees of the field.
The offense just looks different when he's behind it. I don't know how else. And I leaned over to Brian at one point. I think I may have said it to you as well. It's like, I wonder if this comes through on TV the way it comes through live and in person. Because you saw Steve Angeli have two series with the blue team. And then CJ Carr came in and it was like, same guys. Everything else was exactly the same. And the offense just started humming. And it was just different. It was just different. I mean, it was the ball out, boom, make your reads, boom, 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 move the ball, get down the field, let's go. I mean, it was just a different feeling. And it's nothing against Steve Angeli. It's just these guys are built differently. And so, I mean, right now, the pressure's on across the board because this early enrollee freshman is just really stinking good.
Yes. Okay, so someone was asking about the hamstrings, and just to kind of go through those, Jaden Thomas had a hamstring that kept him out of both the Jersey scrimmage and the blue-gold game. Jadarian Price, Marcus Freeman said after the blue-gold game, he tweaked a hamstring on the last play of practice. He said it was either last Tuesday or Thursday. I believe Jaden Harrison, I obviously had everything. Hang on just a second. Let me grab my notebook here.
All right. And we're not coming down on anybody, by the way. We're just explaining what we saw in the game. Okay. I don't know what else to tell you, but we're not purposely coming down on anybody. We're just explaining what we saw, what everybody had a chance to see.
Cam Williams had a hamstring as well. Okay. That's why he didn't play.
So we got
another hamstring. So there is a little bit of a rash of hamstrings late in the spring,
which is not overly surprising in the spring, just because of how spread out the practices are and kind of the way they go about doing things. And here's the other thing. They're not going, like, there might be, like, and I'm not saying I know how, you know, bad these hamstring injuries were, but they held guys out of the blue-gold game as precautions.
There's no reason
guys, if it was a game, like an
actual, obviously
game.
Don't want a tweaked hamstring. And that's what he kind of said. You know, he said, you know, they, like, the Williams and the Price were the kind of hamstrings that, you know, maybe, you know, you'd be a game time decision, that kind of stuff. In a spring game, you're not going to push it, especially when it's a little bit cooler. There's no reason to push it.
Yeah. And it was chilly. I mean, there was a pretty good wind going. Like, it was chilly. So yeah, there's no point in getting the guys more injured.
And then Brent was asking about Jaden Greathouse. He did, I think, you know, kind of get his leg rolled up a little bit, but he was, you know, walking off fine after the field and that, you know, after the game and that kind of stuff. So there was nothing, we didn't get a chance to ask about that. There were a total of 12 questions that were asked in the post game. You know, so it was like there were only didn't get to ask everything that we wanted to ask. I was hoping to be able to ask, you know, something about Benjamin Morrison and his timeline, but we didn't get to ask that. So because the time ran out, basically the clock went off, so I didn't get to ask that one.
Decaf, he says, chilly. It was damn cold. Yeah. Yeah. I was in the press box, so I only walked to and from the car, like, and it was cold, you know. So there you go. You're absolutely right. If I was down in the stadium, I would have felt very different from the way I felt. I will agree with you on that one.
Yes.
Because I already told my son I wasn't going to go to his track meet that morning. Luckily, it got canceled, but I was like, I'm not sitting out there in that. So I'm with you, Decaf.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you on that. Anthony, thank you very much for the super chat. Anthony, known to drop some in every now and then. Appreciate that. DK, thanks as well. DK says, put this toward Vince's therapy session to get over his one play that's haunting him.
It always comes down to one, man. That is the definition of my betting career, too. It always seems to come down to one play in the negative for me. So just throwing it out there.
Yeah. So to kind of continue with the quarterback conversation, I think there's every reason to be very impressed with CJ Carr. Is it an overreaction to think this guy could be the number two quarterback this season?
No, not at all. I really don't. I mean, so there's so many different layers to this, right? So you've got Riley Leonard, who we know is the starter. Is he now, quote unquote, injury prone because of that ankle? You know, because of the way he plays, you know, that hard nose running the football, are there going to be times where the number two guy is going to have to come in and play? Yes, there are. And so, you know, do you put that on CJ Carr? I think you do. Because, and here's a couple of reasons why. Number one, I think he's that talented. I think he belongs in the number two spot when you're looking at all four guys. This is me personally. That's what I believe when I've seen.
Well, yeah, and that's what I've seen. We do have to give like Gino Gaudioli the nod on this, because as we've talked about before, they grade out every practice and film and everything. Like I would really like to see what Gino Gaudioli's leaderboard looks like in terms of how these guys have graded out
over
the course of the spring. I would love to be able to see that.
The second thing I think that you have to weigh is I'm sure there's people out there saying, you know, it would be great to redshirt him, and then you've got four more years of CJ Carr. Folks, CJ Carr is not going to be around for 5 years.
You got a plan like he's gone in 3 years.
There is basically no chance that CJ Carr is here in 5 years. Zero. Right. If he's as good as we think he is based on what we've been able to see as a high school second semester senior, he's not going to be around. He's a three-year guy. You do not redshirt CJ Carr.
And part of that's also why they're still able to get Deuce Knight in the next class. And, you know, that's why they're able to start stacking some of these quarterbacks because, again, that's how they've got to plan. Like, you can't plan like you're going to have a four-year guy when you're getting that caliber of athlete. You've got a plan, and it's the same reason Drake Bowen played so much special teams last year.
Yep.
You've got a plan like they're going to be here for 3 years and go out after their junior year. And look, like, Notre Dame's got these guys on course from the minute they come in the summer before they even start. They're on track to get a degree in 3 years. And they're trying to get these guys to have degrees in 3 years so that if they do go out after their junior year, your graduation rates are staying up and the whole thing.
Sure. Absolutely. I would put whoever the best player is behind Riley Leonard, I would put them at number two. And to me, that's CJ Carr right now. That's who that is. Now, could things change between now and the end of fall before you get to game one? Sure. But I think the reality is CJ Carr is going to get better, which is a scary proposition. I will say that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, like Adam says, but they're trying not to lose two quarterbacks to the portal. True.
Okay.
Again, you know, like these guys know where they stand. Exactly. You know, I don't know if Gino actually puts up a ranking or not and, you know, shows them. Everything that's happened through the spring is Steve Angeli is still the number two quarterback. And that didn't change after the blue gold game. Like they didn't, you know, they didn't tell Steve Angeli, sorry, Steve, we think CJ is just better than you right now. So he's the number two and figure it out. Like that's, I would be very shocked if that was the conversation that they had. Right. Like they obviously want to keep the depth in that room, if at all possible.
These kids aren't idiots. You're not going to put an artificial depth chart up there without kids knowing who's who. You're just not. And they've made both Gino Gadulli and Marcus Freeman have made it very clear that these guys know where they stand. And, you know, we've got somebody in the chat saying he absolutely has to redshirt. No, he doesn't have to redshirt. I'm not saying he has to start, but he doesn't have to redshirt. Because you don't need four more years after this year.
Well, he's not going to be here that long. Obviously, if Riley Leonard is able to stay healthy and that's not an issue, then he's going to redshirt.
Sure.
Right? Because you're going to.
Right. Because he's the number two.
He's going to get into a handful. Like he would. Right. Whoever the number two is would get into a handful of mop up.
Right.
Situations.
Absolutely. And what benefit does redshirting him do for you? That's the question that I would ask.
Right.
Do you really think he's going to be around for four additional years, five total? No. Even if he redshirts, let's say he redshirts because Riley Leonard is healthy the entire time. And let's say he accidentally redshirts as the number two quarterback, right? He's going to start in 25. He'll start in 26. He'll be in the NFL draft with 2 years of eligibility remaining. It's not going to matter how many years of eligibility remaining he has. He's right. going to be gone. He's and not going to start for 4 years.
And then Deuce Knight is your quarterback.
Right. He's going to go because he's going to be one of the highest rated quarterbacks in the NFL draft. So, like, there's no point in redshirting him. There's just no point.
If he's the second best quarterback, then he needs to be the number two quarterback because of all the things that you're laying out. There's no benefit in trying to plan for him being around for a fourth year, because if he is that good and he is good enough to be the number two right now, then the odds that he is going to be around after 2026 are
minute.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very minute. And you also can't forget, as you brought up a couple of minutes ago, Deuce Knight, who's coming in right behind him, is also an excellent, excellent quarterback who's going to have to sit for at least 2 years behind CJ Carr. And then he takes over. He ain't sitting for four. You know what I mean? Like, he'll be gone. And rightfully so.
You know, Michael's saying if you push CJ Carr and he's injured, then, I mean, anybody can get injured on any play. Like, nobody's pushing him. It's number two. Does he merit being number two? That's the only question.
We're pushing him to be number two, and it's not even pushing him. He's earning it. I maybe ideally,
because as I said, even if he is, regardless of if it's Carr or Minshew or Angeli, if Riley Leonard is healthy all season, then it doesn't even matter who number two is. Right?
Exactly. 100%.
Because again, that guy's just going to get mop up duty anyway. And in that case, it's probably, you know, it might even be Angeli.
We have to remember what we're talking about here. We're not talking about CJ Carr starting in 2024. That's not the conversation. The conversation is, should he be the backup quarterback? Nobody's pushing him to do anything.
Is he good enough? Yeah.
I want him to have a year working with the varsity kids. I don't want him to be the scout team quarterback. That's not what I want CJ Carr to be. I want him to be the number two guy so he can keep on learning and so that he's ready to take the reins in 2025. That's what I want. That's not pushing him. That's keeping him on track.
Michael did make this comment earlier, says it's not just the quarterback talent. We're not giving Coach Marcus Freeman his due for the hiring of Gino Gadulli and his development that Tommy Rees failed a quarterback room because Buckner has talent. What do you think about that?
I will say that Gino Gadulli is an excellent quarterbacks coach that we have seen so far. And of course, we give Marcus Freeman credit for that. I will also say the talent of the quarterback room that he has to deal with is also better than any talent that Tommy Rees had in a quarterback room. And then people are going to say, well, those are the guys that Tommy recruited. Those are the guys that Brian Kelly recruited. Because as soon as Brian Kelly wasn't recruiting, Tommy Rees was bringing in guys like, oh, I don't know, CJ Carr. CJ Carr committed to Tommy Rees, folks. Let's not forget that.
So Tommy Rees and Marcus Freeman.
Right. Absolutely. But if you're going to give Gino Gadulli credit, you know, for the quarterback room, you got to give credit to the guys he got committed, right? So, you know, I don't think he had – he was working with the guys that Gino Gaudioli is working with. Doesn't take anything away from what Gino Gaudioli is doing. I think he's an excellent quarterbacks coach. And, of course, you give credit for the guy who hired him. No doubt. No doubt.
So, you know, what everyone's talking about right now, I've seen questions popping up. Andre says, I believe Notre Dame's going to have a quarterback in the portal soon. I don't want it to happen. Though, Decaf, is it a good sign that no one has entered the portal? And then Brent was asking, he says, most importantly, who's jumping into the portal between Angeli and Minchie? I will say, and we were talking right before the show started, whether it's quarterback or any other position, I am shocked that it was it's been as quiet as it's been today. I thought we would see at least a couple, you know, guys make their announcements. That could still happen. You never know. Like, these things come out of the blue.
Yeah.
It seems like. As I've sat and I've looked, you know, like, and I think I said this to you the other day. Can't remember if I said it on a show or not, but when you look at Steve Angeli and Kenny Minchie specifically, whether they are number two, number three, four, you know, wherever they end up on the depth chart, it's not like either one of those guys are going to go to another Power Five school. It's not like they're going to go someplace and start right away. Like, unless, you know, unless they were to go to a, you know, like an India, I don't know even exactly what Indiana's, but I'm just saying, you know, like that making, level, you're going to have to move down.
Yeah. Power Five. Yeah.
I don't see either one of those guys going and jumping to another Power Five school and being a starter. Like, are they really going to be that in demand in the transfer portal right now? A year from now is another story, especially if one of those guys gets on the field this season and gets some a la a Drew Pine. You know, Drew Pine, for whatever limitations that Drew Pine had, he still won, what was it, 8 games as the starting quarterback at Notre Dame, and he had a lot of film. So there was at least some demand for Drew Pine. Minchie and Angeli don't have all Angeli has is the Sun Bowl. You've got one game to go on and with Steve Angeli.
3 spring games.
Yeah. So I just, you know, like when we talked about supply and demand, when we were talking about the, you know, the whole WNBA salaries, and like, that's essentially what, you know, it still comes down to that as well.
Sure.
Is there a demand for either one of these guys in the portal right now? Sure. They could go transfer, but wherever they transfer, they're going to go in at best, probably somebody else's number two, having to compete for a job someplace else as well. So what's the benefit in either one of those guys jumping into the portal right now?
Yeah. The only way I see, I mean,
that doesn't mean that they won't do it, right, but I'm just like, when you look at it from the outside,
you're using logic,
right? What's the short-term benefit for either one of those guys going to the transfer portal right now? I don't see one. Other than maybe, you know, again, the best case situation is they would be at number two going into training camp, wherever they end up,
with a chance to compete for the job.
With a chance to compete for the job, right? Whereas, you know, they're the presumed number two behind Riley Leonard here, at, you know, two or three or whatever, right?
I would not be shocked to see one of the quarterbacks jump in the portal, whoever it happens to be. It would not surprise me at all. I would say I am, as you said, shocked we hadn't heard anything yet today, because a lot of these guys kind of knew what they wanted to do going into the spring game. And the spring game didn't cement anything about the depth chart to anybody. You know what I mean? Like that was not like the culminating, like, oh, well, I've got to go now, you know, because of what happened in the spring game. And so it would be interesting to see who jumped. Look, somebody's going to jump in. People are going to jump in. They're at 87 scholarships. They need to get to 85, and they're going to be hunting in the portal for guys as well. And so you're going to see at least 5 or 6 guys leave, whether it's medical retirements, or, you know, retirements strictly from football period, or, you know, transfer portal. You're going to see 5 or 6 guys go. And it's only a matter of time before we see that being the case. I mean, it's going to happen, and there's going to be a name, I'm sure, that people are going to be shocked by, whoever that happens to be. And at the end of the day, it won't be shocking to the coaching staff. And that's the most important thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's going to have to be some movement. Marcus Freeman's already said that he's going to go get a punter. He's going to find a punter.
Yeah, so that means at least three guys have to leave.
Yeah.
We know they're going to be at least having their eye on a corner or a tackle. I mean, there's other positions of potential need, at least from a depth standpoint, that they're going to bring in. And so, yeah, at least five or six guys are going to go.
I mean, I love how everyone's got their, you know, feelings about who they think is leaving and all that. You know, it's like, you know, any of them could have.
Jalen Steed is leaving? Come on.
Yeah, I mean.
Unless he just announced it, which I'm not on Twitter right now, Ghost. Unless he just announced it, I would have a hard time seeing that because he is going to be a very counted on guy on this team.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
Sorry.
He's part of the rotation now. Yeah. I mean, look at the way he played the other day. He played pretty well. He played pretty well in the scrimmage as well. I just
I don't see that one happening.
Yeah, I just double checked Twitter just to make sure, you know, we didn't miss something here.
Okay. But
there's nothing that I'm seeing.
Just right making
now.
Sure.
I mean, there are again, I'm not gonna name names, but there are two guys that I would say I'm pretty confident are going to leave. So that gets you to 85 Ooh. Right there. Ooh. There are two other guys who I wouldn't be shocked, you know, so that gets you down to 83. And again, they're going to have to bring in a punter. They just had a cornerback, remember, visit last weekend. I think it was from Rice, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is a position they're obviously going to look at. The cornerback position. So I think that's going to be one that they're going to be eyeballing. It, like you said, I'd be shocked if they don't bring in at least probably three, if not four different guys.
Yeah.
In the portal.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's going to be some movement someplace.
And
I think it's going to be more depth guys than it's going to be. Guys.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, they're going to have an eye for a tackle. I didn't say they were going to bring in a tackle. It's going to have to be the right guy. It's going to have to be a guy that can come in and compete for that starting position. And if that guy doesn't exist, then they're not going to bring him in. Like that, you guys got to understand where I'm coming from here. I'm not saying that that guy is in the portal right now or that that guy exists, but they're going to have their ear to the ground for it. That's what I'm saying. You don't bring in a guy just to bring in a guy. You want it to be, you know, a guy that can actually help you.
What about, and we'll, I wanted to talk a little bit about the offensive line. You brought up Rocco Spindler, and I got this
so good.
Got this comment from Marcus Freeman. He was asked about the pass rush, but he also talked a little bit about the offensive line mixed in here as well. So let's hear Marcus Freeman on that.
Again, when you start splitting the units, the offensive line units, and even the defensive line into, you know, different teams. It's, you know, those guys got to get used to working with each other, especially the O-line. There's five guys that are used to working with each other, and now, you know, they're on, you know, separate teams. But it's a testament to our D-line. D-line's done a good job, you know, to get pressure, to actually get the quarterback down. I think they had probably two or three on Steve, who was in red, but again, you got to be back there to be able to get a sack. So just credit to our D-line. And again, it's a little bit of a reflection of our offensive line being split too.
Okay, so offensive line, are you more confident or concerned with them right now?
Well, I think I got some answers, some questions answered off offensive line-wise, but I think there's also still questions that are still out there. I feel like, me personally, I feel like four of the offensive line spots are set to me. I feel very good about four of them. Right tackle position, not so much. And I feel like there's three guys that can compete for it. And if they can figure out who that fifth guy is out of those three, then, you know, the sooner the better, right? Because you want to be able to get all five of those guys working together. But I was very impressed with, you know, center over to the left of the gold team. I thought the three of them worked very well together in the run game for sure.
I guess I've been a little bit more inconsistent the last couple of weeks than like what we saw in the Sun Bowl, for example.
In the run game, he was excellent. In the pass game, he was 50-50.
And that's where I'm concerned the most is the two tackles, because there was, you know, when you lose two tackles to the NFL, you know there's going to be at least some drop off. The question is how much this can get corrected, I get. But I agree with what you're saying. And like what we've seen from Rocco the last couple of weeks screams Rocco Spindler has got to be at one of those two spots.
You got to play him. And Billy Shrout's not giving up his spot anytime soon. There's a reason that Rocco isn't repping at right guard anymore. He's repping at left guard. There's a reason for that, right? He's competing with Pat Coogan for that job, and he played much better than Pat Coogan on Saturday. Now, it's not just about Saturday. You know, there's our overreaction again, right? Well, Rocco played so well, he's got to start. But he's had a pretty good spring, and if you listen to Marcus Freeman, he's saying that Rocco Spindler is not even 100% healthy. So, I mean, that's saying something too.
Yeah, Pat says, can Jagasaw play guard? Well, that doesn't really solve the problem because he could, but you've already got three guys basically battling for two guard spots with Rocco, Coogan, and Trouth. And so, you know, the question I think is, can any one of those three play tackle? I don't know that they've given Pat Coogan too many looks at tackle before, but right tackle is the biggest concern, I think, to everybody right now. Because I think you said before, are they going to go out into the transfer portal and bring in a tackle? Is there a quality enough right tackle candidate to bring in via the transfer portal? That's probably the biggest question. I think Tommy asked that, you know, and then the other side of that, I just saw somebody, was it DK? Yeah. DK says, where's all the hairy recruited tackles? Well, they're on the roster, but we haven't seen any of them step up and take that right tackle spot and play consistently enough at the right tackle spot. Because I agree with what you're saying. Like overall, I'm pretty confident that when you put the five best offensive linemen out there on the field, I'm pretty confident in what we're going to see from that unit. But the biggest, you know, the two biggest questions, can both of the tackles pass block well enough? And what are you going to get from that right tackle? Because Baker and Wagner, neither one of those guys has stepped up and just said, this is my job. I'm going to take it.
Absolutely. And I know Brian was impressed with the way Sullivan Abshire played on Saturday as well. So I think, you know, moving him over, let him compete for that job too. I think he's the third guy I was referring to. I think you give him every opportunity to do that as well. But again, guard, center, guard are not the problem. They have two really good guards and a really good center. That's not the problem. Tackles are the issue, right? And Charles Jagasaw right now, I think his future is probably in the NFL as a guard, to be perfectly honest with you. But they need him at left
tackle.
But
this is a young guy still, and I mean, a lot can happen in the next 2 years for him.
100%. Okay. I mean, is this like your boy Martin, you know, who is a pretty darn good tackle at Notre Dame and ends up being an all-pro guard in the NFL? Right. That could be the route that Jagasaw goes.
But possibly right now, Blake Fisher's future, depending on
absolutely. And so you need him at tackle right now, and he's your best tackle on the roster, at least the way he's playing. And so they've got to focus on right tackle and get that figured out.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the biggest question other than, you know, who's the number two quarterback? Who's the number one right tackle, I think, is the more pressing question.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I would feel much better if they had that figured out as opposed to who the number two quarterback is, for sure. 100%.
Right. I tell you what, though, I love what they're like. Somebody brought up Jason Onye as an MVP candidate. When you start talking about pass rush, it's not just from the outside. And that's why, like, when you look at some of the stuff that we've seen now, again, it's mixed squads and how, you know, there are certain things you can read into it. But tell you what, man, like Onye going to that, you know, sliding to nose in pass rush type situations, that's a really intriguing little possibility, I think. You know, when it comes to the regular season, what he's been able to do, he gets a little slippery in there and starts making some of those moves and getting after the quarterback. I really like – now, again, we saw some flashes from him last spring, and it didn't necessarily pan out during the season last year in terms of big-time production. But I think maybe Like that can be a really nice move when, you know, like Howard Cross comes off the field in a third and long situation. And that body that Jason Onye comes on and gets a little pressure up the middle. I like that possibility.
Oh, I mean, look, the defensive line, I think you could realistically go three deep across the board on the D-line. That's how deep the D-line is. And that's why splitting them up between gold and blue didn't seem to bother the D-line, because they got plenty of dudes that are going to be able to get after the quarterback, man. The defensive line is one of the least of my concerns. Let's just put it that way.
I would agree with that for sure.